Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I'm so glad you're here today. It is Monday. It is April 15th, tax day. And today we are continuing our series, Love is Not a Feeling. Be right back. All right, ladies, I am sorry that I didn't get a chance to do my show last Thursday. I know a lot of you might have been looking for this part two on Thursday of last week. So my apologies, y'all. I'm giving a lot of workshops this election season and I'm trying to pace myself, but sometimes it just gets the best of me and I've got to rest and take care of myself. So I hope you understand. I know you do and I appreciate your grace. So today, let's continue. Last episode, we talked about the biblical definition of love. And in case you missed it, I'm just going to reiterate it here. This is from 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So what we talked about basically last time is that love is really not a feeling. Like, God did not put this in the Bible and then put a PS after it. Do all of these things only if you feel like it, right? These are actions that we take. So we can love someone without feeling like it. And what I shared last time was that, you know, our feelings hopefully eventually catch up, but love is behavioral. It is an act of obedience to the Lord. So what we wanted to do today is contrast the worldview of love that we have on display right now so rampantly in our culture. And I just think it's interesting to draw the contrast because when we talk about the word love, a lot of times we're talking about two completely different definitions of the word. And I think we need to understand that so that it'll hopefully clear the smoke a lot of confusion of why we don't seem to be on the same page with people in our family and in our friend groups, things like that. You know, this word love means very different things to different people, depending on if they have a biblical view or a worldview of the definition of love. So what I see a lot in the worldview is terms like love is love, right? What does that mean? Love is love. Let's just look at that for a second. Let's just stop. Let's park right there for a second and break that open. Love is love. So if you have no foundation for what the word means, then what does that statement mean? And what it's referring to a lot of times is the gay community. They'll say, well, you know, if you're in a same-sex relationship or a heterosexual relationship, the love is the same. Love is love. I think that's what they mean by that when they say that. Now, I have a lot of gay friends and friends that I dearly, dearly do care about very much. And I consider to be beautiful people, wonderful people. They're trying their best. Everybody really does believe, I think, that they are on the right side of this definition. And I don't understand. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to understand the gay lifestyle. But I listen a lot to Beckett Cook. He is, if y'all don't know him, I highly recommend you look him up. He's got a great podcast out there, Beckett Cook, B-E-C-K-E-T, I think it is, and then last name Cook. There's also another one, Rosaria Butterfield. And both of them have taught me a lot about the gay lifestyle just by listening to their shows and listening to their speeches. And what they, and both of them, I should tell you, were fully immersed in the gay lifestyle. Beckett lived out in LA and was in that gay lifestyle, I mean, full blown for like 20 years, I want to say. And Rosario was a typical, you know, she says this in her own words, she was a typical gay activist. She was a liberal college professor. She, you know, I mean, was all in. And so they both had encounters with God, and they turned completely away from those lifestyles. And they ended up serving the Lord in new ways now. And they have wonderful shows where they help us debunk that term, love is love, where they help us completely understand what those lifestyles are all about and how to make sense of them, especially if we have members of our family that are living that lifestyle. But love is not just about your feelings. Again, it's about obedience. And God's laws are very clear on the homosexual lifestyle. No matter how much I love my friends, no matter how much I want them, you know, to be in obedience, they're not in obedience if they're living that lifestyle. And Beckett and Rosaria both help us understand that a lot. He basically says that the gay lifestyle for men is extremely dependent on things like partying, like a lot of times they swap partners. A lot of times it's about that the alcohol and the drugs are typically involved, and they, you know, are all about accomplishments. So he says usually the relationships will start to fall apart if any of those components comes out. So like if one of them loses a job or their career fails or something like that, then a lot of times you'll see the relationships break up. In other words, it's kind of idyllic. Like as long as the party's on, then everything's great. But as soon as the curtain draws, then all of a sudden when reality kicks in, a lot of times those relationships will fall apart. So they're not really rooted in the biblical definition of love. They're rooted in world things. That's the best takeaway I can give you on what I've learned from watching him. And then Rosaria Butterfield, helps us understand is that in the lesbian lifestyle, it's very much about companionship and feeling accepted and nurtured. And so, you know, she says not everybody that is in that lifestyle had hard childhoods or anything like that, but it's just this kind of understanding that they feel with the person, and they feel like they, you know, can totally let their guard down and be themselves with someone who understands them from that female point of view. And so it's really more about companionship than it is sex, like it is on the men's side. And so I don't know. I don't pretend to understand, and I am not, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, make anyone hurt anyone's feelings or anything here, but we just have to speak truth. And God is very, very clear in the Bible that the homosexual relationships are wrong according to him. And I didn't make the rule, but that's the rule. So Beckett Cook and Rosaria Butterfield both help us understand that we don't, our job is not to condemn them or to call them out or to make them feel bad about themselves. Our hope is to love them to Christ. And if they're already in Christ, to speak truth in love and help them, you know, to a point where they do decide to walk in that obedience. And in Beckett's case and in Rosaria's case, in both of those cases, they had people who were not judging them. They were praying for them. They were doing everything they could to win them to the Lord. And in both cases, they were won. Beckett talked with some people. I love how he brings up in a coffee shop one day, you know, God had been working on his heart, and he had an aunt who prayed for him every day, and his family still loved him. They didn't shun him, but they were not agreeing with the lifestyle, and they were speaking that truth in love. And so God had been working on his heart. But then one day in a coffee shop, he was having coffee with a friend, and I guess near him was a Bible study group going on, and all their Bibles were out and on the table. And so Beckett, you know, starts a conversation with one of them and says, you know, what is your view on homosexuality? And in a kind way, they said, well, according to the Bible, it's sin. The guy just came right out and said it. And Beckett appreciated that. And he said, and the guy actually invited him to church. Beckett actually went to church that Sunday and said his encounter with the Lord was so powerful and so profound that from that point forward, he turned his life turned his back on that lifestyle and started pursuing the things of God. And he talks now about how, this is his words, he basically says there's no such thing as gay. There's no such thing as a gay man or a gay woman. And it's interesting. So I would highly recommend you listen to him, you know, straight from his mouth, a believer. It's just fascinating to me how we can be so deceived and live out 20 years of a lifestyle under that deception. And then once he came to know the Lord and he understood the real biblical definition of love, how much happier he is now and how much more fulfilled he is now by choosing to obey. And Rosaria Butterfield was the same way. She was, you know, living that lifestyle. She lived in a neighborhood, I guess, where there was a pastor who lived nearby, and he was kind to her and they struck up a friendship, and he actually invited her to dinner several times. And what he said to her up front is, and this is the key thing, he said to her up front, "We can be friends and I would love to get to know you." He says, "But we just have one condition up front. And that is that my acceptance of you does not need to be confused with my agreement with your lifestyle." He says, "I need you to understand that I accept you and I love you, but I don't agree with your lifestyle and I won't affirm it." And they were clear on the terms up front. And she was actually drawn to his home many times for dinner. And over the years, he won her over. And again, she turned completely away from the lifestyle she was immersed in. She ended up marrying a man who was a pastor. And now they've been married like 20 years. And she also helps speak on this and helps us understand, you know, the deception she was under and now how she's come full circle, you know, back to God, and how she's so much more fulfilled and happy in her life. So these are just two places you can go to really understand that. But love is an act of obedience and it is behavioral. It is not a feeling. And so when people say to you, "Love is love," I would encourage you to just ask them, what do you mean by love? What is your definition of love? And let's bounce it up against the Bible here. And, you know, so kind of with that, with the trans movement and all of that, we can apply this, what we're learning today, to that and what Rosario and Beckett have taught us about that. So let's break down this. So love is patient and kind. Well, what I see coming from the progressive left, coming from people who are just so, oh gosh, in my opinion, just, well, they are, it's not even my opinion, who are so deceived right now. They are not patient. They are not kind. We're looking at people with opposing views. We're looking at people that are just living these alternate lifestyles. They are not patient with us. They're not kind to us. They're incredibly cruel. When the Bible says love is not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude, the jealous part, I don't know if that so much applies here, but the boastful, proud, and rude, I mean, the name of the movement is gay pride. They're very boastful, very loud and proud and incredibly rude. I mean, just the behavior is rude. If we look at drag shows, things like that in front of children, it is just all about this trying to normalize that which God calls an abomination. The Bible says it does not demand its own way, that love does not demand its own way. Well, again, we can immediately see how their version of love is incredibly demanding. They not only demand that you accept, but they demand that you affirm. And now there are consequences if you don't affirm them. Use the right pronouns, use the right gender. They even call it gender affirming now. They want us to completely turn our back on the biblical definition of love, and they completely demand their own way. The Bible goes on to say it is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. Well, every progressive left person that I know is a very cranky, irritable person. I don't know anyone in that lifestyle that's actually happy. And they certainly keep a lot of records of being wronged, don't they? I mean, they have a list. They can go down the list on demand and list to you all of the ways that America, you know, forsakes them, all the ways that America has let them down, all the way that America is wrong. They can rattle that off like it's nothing. The Bible says it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. So it's important here to look at the word the truth. There is one truth. That is Jesus Christ. So all of this, live your truth. You live your truth. I'm going to live my truth. We are not our own gods. And the Bible is clear that there is one truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. So there are not versions of the truth. It's not negotiable. It's not optional. The truth is one truth. The Bible goes on to say love never gives up, never loses faith. I mean, they walk out of our lives. They give up on us. They absolutely lose faith. In fact, a lot of them don't have a biblical worldview of faith. And so they are their own gods. So their faith is in worldly things. So they absolutely are not walking out the biblical view. This is a stark contrast to the biblical worldview of love. Love said, the Bible says it's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Well, again, the world's version of love is not hopeful at all. It's pretty doom and gloom. They're sometimes they're hopeful in the things they'll say. They'll talk about unity, or they'll talk about this utopian land that they're trying to create where everybody's nice to everyone, where everybody can avoid hard or hurtful things. They tell us that our words of truth are toxic, that the Christian worldview is toxic to them, that they have to protect their families from us. Y'all, my son said that to me, that he had to protect his family from my worldview. It's incredibly cruel. It's incredibly painful. They think they're doing the right thing. They really do. They believe they're on the side of compassion and on the side of right. But if you think about it, it's all about feelings for them. You know, struggles and adversity and competing worldviews and all these things are necessary. Critical thinking, all of these things are very, very necessary to attain our purpose and for the human experience to really be fulfilling. You can't hide from and protect and avoid all the adversities and negativity in the world, even things you view as negative. Because basically what you're doing is you're trying to create this utopian environment that one day that bubble is going to burst, because the world is a cruel place. Human beings can be very cruel to each other. You can't avoid things that don't make that hurt your feelings or things that make you uncomfortable. What we have to learn instead is how to become resilient to those things. We have to learn how to discern, and we have to learn how to thrive and overcome and triumphantly walk in our purpose and do the things that God put us here to do, you know, in spite of those things, or use those things as fuel toward our purpose. They're not kryptonite. I talked about this a lot in my first book. Pain and adversity and tragedies and traumas and things like that, is as hard as they are to go through, they are fuel, not kryptonite. They are fuel, not kryptonite. And so, and I tell this story a lot about the butterfly that was trying to emerge from a cocoon. And a man was sitting on a park bench, and he noticed this cocoon. He noticed this butterfly struggling to get out of the cocoon, and he wanted to help. And so he reached down and he kind of helped break the cocoon open a little bit so that the butterfly could emerge, thinking he was helping. And what he ended up doing was causing that butterfly to die, because the struggle was necessary in order for the fluid to come out of the caterpillar's body and to be pumped into the wings of the now butterfly. That fluid was not, that struggle was necessary for him to fully develop, and so that he could then fly and survive. And so this man, by thinking he was helping him prevent or avoid the struggle, he actually ended up causing the butterfly's death, because the butterfly now didn't have the strength and the fluid and all of the things that it needed in order to survive. So by helping, trying to help, a lot of times we hurt. We hurt more than we help, even with good intentions. And I think that's what's going on with a lot of the progressive left, this woke mentality, this DEI and CRT and all this stuff. Maybe at some point early on, I think it's Marxist. It's 100% out of the Marxist playbook. But in the minds of the young people who have been brought up on this diet, they think that they're on the side of right. They think they're compassionate. They think that by doing everything they can to avoid hurting someone's feelings, they think that that's loving them, and it's not. It's hurting them, because it's helping them avoid or prevent the truth from taking root in their heart, so that they can become all that they really are purposed to be by their Creator. So when we compare these two, love from the worldview and love from the biblical view, there are stark, stark contrasts. And what it comes down to is love has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with obedience. And then your feelings catch up. I pray for the people who are lost in that worldview of love. I pray for our children and our grandchildren. I pray over these people who are so deceived. And I'll tell you, the proof that their worldview is wrong is we look at the dramatic increase in suicide rates and depression. Almost every teenager that I encounter is on some kind of antidepressant. I mean, if this worldview was really fulfilling them or really making them happy, don't you think those numbers would be going down instead of going up? So we have to ask ourselves, how can we love people who are deceived in this worldview of love? Well, we have to walk out this fruit of the Spirit. We have to walk out these things ourselves. We need to make sure we are patient, we are kind, that we're not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude, that we're not demanding our own way. We can extend the olive branch to them, but we're not demanding it. That we're not irritable, that we're not keeping records of being wronged, that we're not rejoicing about this injustice, but we're rejoicing when the truth wins out, that we're never giving up, that we're never losing faith, that we're always hopeful, that we're enduring in every circumstance. That's how we help y'all. That's how we help win them. We can't win them with pointing fingers or making them feel bad about themselves or any of that, but we definitely need to take that cue out of Rosaria's story. We need to make sure that people understand that because we love them, we are speaking truth in love, and our acceptance of where they're at in their life right now does not mean we affirm it or that we agree with it, that we want to simply win and love them to the Lord. Because that we've seen so many lives transformed. The regret rate of God's biblical view of love is zero. The regret rate of the world's view of love is staggering. So we know that they mean well, they think they're doing the right thing, they think that by protecting people's feelings, they're doing right, but they're deceived. And the only way we're going to win them is by us walking out what actual love looks like and winning them to the biblical worldview of love and winning them to the Lord. All right, let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you so very, very much that you love us and that you've given us clear definitions of what love is. Lord, I pray that these words, this scripture would penetrate our hearts today and that we would understand the distinction between feelings and the active obedience of love. Lord, help us to love those that are lost and deceived. Help us to truly love them to you. Help us to make impact in all the conversations that we enter. Lord, help us to be good ambassadors for you and to help people that are blind, to help them see. Lord, we love you and we honor you with all of our heart. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, ladies, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. I am taking the rest of this week off. I have to head out of town for a speaking engagement. I'm going to be visiting my family. So I won't be back with you again until next Monday, so a week from today. But I hope you have a great week ahead. I hope this podcast has been helpful to you. And I love you with all my heart. Lady up. See you next week. Around this time, victory all about.